Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yesterday we heard in the news about a kidnapping. I think it was in Norwood. I think it was on Sunday. Now, to be honest, I was really only listening with half an ear, and I don't really know why. And then yesterday afternoon, I saw a communication from the CSO to the community talking about the fact that this incident is actually a little bit more significant and perhaps sinister than we had realized. In fact, to give you guys some credit, during the show as well, one or two of you did message about it, but I don't know why, I just didn't feel the story. You know, sometimes you feel a story, sometimes you don't. This apparently actually is something significant, and we wanted to get an understanding from the CSO as to what this, in fact, is all about. Joining us in a studio this morning is the CEO of the CSO, Leron Sanders. Leron, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Howard.
So this is the first time I've actually spoken to you on the show. You're new in the position, am I right?
Fairly new. Right. I took over in the beginning of December, actually,
okay.
Last year.
Fine. And how's it going?
Interesting.
Well, there we go. It's interesting. You know, the Chinese curse, we live in interesting, you live in interesting times. Certainly it is interesting times. And I would imagine that the position today, end of 2024-25, is somewhat of a very different position to what it might have been a couple of years ago.
Look, I think I can't really comment on the previous, on how the position was, but really, every single day is different. There's always something new happening. The environment is consistently changing. So it's really a dynamic role to be in. So I'm very grateful for that. And every day brings some new excitement, if I can put it in that words.
Okay, so let's just talk about the excitement or whatever this was over this particular incident. If anybody doesn't know about it, or they would have like listened with half an ear like I did, take us through the actual event or what we know about it.
So on a very short and high level of what actually happened is, late on Sunday evening, about 11 p.m. if I'm not mistaken, a male was kidnapped in the Norwood area.
Right.
By, I think it was three or four suspects.
Okay.
Truthfully, this is happening all over Johannesburg, all over South Africa, so it's really a non-event.
Right, even though that's a problem in of itself, but that's fine.
Even though that's a problem in itself. And it was Monday afternoon, a news report came out that the police and other law enforcement had arrested some people in connection to this kidnapping of an Ethiopian male. Okay. And that's pretty much what the news stated in the beginning.
Right. Okay. And this was in Kensington.
So he was kidnapped in Norwood.
Right.
And found in Kensington.
Okay. Fine. So that's what we know. That's what we know publicly. What transpires after that?
So what transpires after that is quite a lot of information.
Mm.
The key bit is this male that was kidnapped was very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've seen around the kidnapping schemes in Johannesburg specifically is that it's kidnapping for ransom. So they're often targeting high risk or high wealthy individuals so that they can potentially get some financial gain from kidnapping the person. What's interesting about this one is the people that they arrested had links to more than just a kidnapping syndicate.
Okay, and what were those links?
So those are links of terrorism,
right?
Ultimately.
I saw one report said, or one tweet, and I think it was Yusuf Abramji. I'm quite surprised that I could even see it because he has blocked me. But he said it's potentially linked to ISIS. Is that confirmed? Is that a rumor?
So obviously I'm privy to some information, and some information I can share. I don't want to go on air and say they are confirmed linked to ISIS, but we are busy investigating and understanding what links to terrorism they had.
Okay, so what we do know is, and what you can confirm, is that the links are to terror.
100%.
The event itself, from what I'm understanding, therefore, is it a terror event, or is it a event that is for terror funding?
So Honestly, we don't know yet. And I think as the case unfolds, we'll know more and we'll learn more. But I think ultimately these people involved, they had two fronts. One was terrorism and one was kidnapping. Obviously, the kidnapping side of it was to fund whatever they were planning or whatever they were doing.
Or are planning.
Or are planning or funding terrorism abroad, et cetera, et cetera. We don't actually know the true reasons. Obviously, as the case unfolds, we're going to learn a whole lot more, hopefully.
The fact that the kidnapping is linked to people involved in terror, again, we don't know that it's a terror event, because a plain kidnapping like this doesn't really, you know, I don't know if it's ISIS style or not, or any, you know, terror in the same traditional way. What does that tell us about terror in South Africa?
So look, I think the short answer, what it tells us about terror in South Africa, is that there are links and things are taking place in the environment. One, we know about a whole bunch of terror financing that's coming up in the news, and there's a whole lot of investigations by the government and law enforcement into that. And there's always been speculation that there's been links to people who are linked to terror in South Africa. And this is slowly confirming that and putting it in the public space and in the public eye.
Right. So the question is, Barry asking, was the victim linked to our community? Well, clearly not.
No, 100% not. It was a targeted attack against a wealthy person for ransom.
And those of which we've seen. We've seen it a fair amount with some foreigners, with people within the Muslim community. We've seen it a fair amount that you know, these high value kidnappings. Do we know if a lot of the others have been linked to terror, or are those more criminal in nature?
From our understanding, look, a lot of the previous people haven't been caught. They've either been given a ransom,
right,
or they've kidnapped a person, gotten what they need to get, and they dropped the person off. This is the first case in a while that we've seen that suspects have actually been apprehended. So we can make that link because we understand who the people are. In the past, we haven't had that opportunity to understand who the kidnappers are and what their actual motive is.
Right. And how does the CSO get involved in this, if you can answer that question? Because, you know, here's this event that's happening, and then the CSO puts out an announcement to the community, which we'll still talk about. We'll get to the impact on the community. But I just want to understand the basics here.
So I think it's twofold. And the first thing is, what's very important is the CSO's mandate is more anti-terror than anti-crime. So what the CSO really, really, really focuses on is terrorism and preventing terrorism within South Africa. Security companies, they focus on crime. What's interesting about this case is it had a combination of crime and terror involved in both of them. And obviously the suspects are linked to terrorism. So that's why the CSO got involved and started to understand what was happening. So that's the first side of the question. And the second side is, we're on a big drive at the CSO to create awareness within our community. It started about 2 and a bit years ago through various different means and channels. And we're really digging our feet into the ground now to make sure our community is aware of what's actually going on in their surroundings. And the real reason being is, if you're more aware, you're generally safer off. If you understand what's happening around you, you can prevent something from happening to you. And that's really why we got involved, is to bring an awareness element into it.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Liron, and we'll be hearing a little bit more. I want to talk to Liron Saunders, who's the CEO of the CSO, about terror in South Africa in general, as it impacts our community. What impact does this particular event have, and what do we need to look out for? It is 8:44. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 8:45. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. Joining me in studio this morning, Liron Saunders, CEO of the CSO, talking about a kidnapping with terror links that took place in Norwood on Sunday night. An Ethiopian male was kidnapped, and some of the suspects were arrested. Jenny says, were they South African?
Yeah.
They were South African.
They were South African.
Yeah. So the suspect, the kidnappee, he's an Ethiopian male, foreign national, got a big business here in South Africa. The kidnappers were South Africans.
But with links to terror.
With links to terror.
And that is confirmed. It is not. You can't confirm if it's ISIS or other terror, even though the social media talk out there says ISIS, but that's not something you can confirm.
Correct.
So let's now talk about the fact that no matter how we look at it, if it's a terror-related event, in other words, either to raise money or as an event itself, but it looks like it's more about raising money, it means that there's something to raise money for here in South Africa, logically. What do we know, or what can you share, rather, about terror? We've been reading about these training camps. We've been reading about the stuff for years. How real is it?
So ultimately, everything is real. Most of it is real. To the extent that the news media outlets put it into the public space varies. But these things are happening here in South Africa. And I think what's also important for me to stress is I don't want anyone to get afraid, but it's happening all over the world. Mm. If you look at Europe at the moment specifically, there's terror attacks happening every single week. So it's an international problem, if I can say that.
Right. So, but do we know that ISIS or other terror organizations, whether it's, I don't know, Al-Qaeda or I think Al-Shabaab, whichever one of these they are, do we know that they are present? We know Hamas is present, don't we?
Sure. I think the simple answer is wherever there's potential links to terrorism, all of the groups are present.
They don't have non-competes, eh?
No. I think it just depends on the individual involved. Truth be told, if you're someone involved in terrorism, you can choose which organization you want to be a part of, per se.
Right.
It depends what the motive and the drive is.
Yeah. I hear it. And all right. So I guess now the question is how this impacts the community. If you put out a notice yesterday to the community, I have to assume that there is some concern, or it's important for the community to know this.
So from our perspective, there's no increased concern or increased threat to the community.
Okay, just stop there. Have you changed the threat level?
No, our threat level remains unchanged.
Okay,
this.
Fine.
So there's no direct concern or direct impact from our understanding. And like I said in the beginning, it's really about creating awareness for the community. We don't want people to be shocked to hear these things. We need them to be aware, because the more they're aware, the more they see what's happening, the more we know, the more we hear about. Ultimately, our team isn't the biggest team out there, and the community is everywhere. So if the community sees something and they can tell us what they've seen, it gives us like a million more eyes on the ground. And that's really the goal of this.
And what do we do about this awareness? You know, what do we look for? What do we, most of us just go about our normal day. And to be honest, sometimes feel stupid phoning in something because we rationalize everything. You know, it's human nature. We rationalize things. I see something and then I feel, no, I don't want to call that in, because is that going to make me look stupid? Is it going to make me look racist? Is it going to make me look, like an idiot? How do we get over that?
So I think that the most important thing is, as soon as you pick up that phone, the person on the other end doesn't really care who you are or where you're from or what you think. All they care about is getting that information from you so we can action on it. As soon as the phone goes down, 9 times out of 10, they won't remember who phoned them today. So there's no need to feel stupid or think that this is the wrong thing to call in. You'd rather be safe and pick up the phone, report something, and let it be nothing, then not pick up the phone and it be something.
Correct. And what is that number? Just give it to us
again. It's 086 18 000 18.
086 18 000 18. Even I can remember that, and I'm not good with numbers. Jenny says, does the CSO have data on how many South Africans went to fight for ISIS? I guess also what's important is how many came back. I don't really care how many went. I should care how many came back.
So personally, we don't have that data. I don't think the country has that data. the truth is it could be thousands, it could be hundreds, it could be 10, it could be one. I don't know if they South Africans or they come in from other countries through South Africa to go fight for terror organizations, but there's no exact figure or there's no real understanding of how many people could have crossed through South Africa to fight in terror organizations.
A few people asking, listening in from Cape Town, saying what is the situation in Cape Town? Can I just ask, does CSO Joburg work, how does it work in terms of structure?
So just very briefly, we've got a national structure. So there's four organizations, there's four CSOs around the country, namely Johannesburg, Cape Town, Pretoria, and Durban. Mm-hmm. Each country has their own executive leadership. Each area has their own executive leadership and their own teams with their own priorities, and we're governed by a national body. So we all do collaborate. We speak often.
But in fact, the responsibility, I mean, you obviously work with each other, share information, but the responsibility is regionalized.
Yeah, the responsibility is regionalized. The information is shared across all the organizations. At the end of the day, it's a 2-hour flight from Joburg to Cape Town. So any person of concern per se could impact any region, but we are responsible for our individual regions and the operations in those regions. And we all have different operating mandates. As a simple example, CSO in Johannesburg is purely security focused, whereas if I look at CSO in the Cape, they have a security and a medical focus. Joburg, we're fortunate enough to have Hatsola, and they do amazing work, and we work alongside of them a lot. Cape Town don't have Hatsola, so the CSO Cape Town fills that need as well in that gap.
And also Cape Town's a much bigger stronghold. We certainly haven't seen demonstrations or many demonstrations here in Joburg, whereas Cape Town, they're happening on a fairly regular basis. So it is quite different in terms of demographic.
The demographic, and I don't want to say the threats, but the environment is slightly different. If you look at it like a foreigner, you would never believe that Cape Town is in South Africa as a city. With that comes its differences, and the Cape Town CSO executive team is very geared up to focus on their region and their threats and their responsibilities, and the Joburg region's focus is slightly different because we've got different elements that we need to cover here in Joburg.
Mm. How do we feel about our security competency in terms of where we're at globally? And just to expand what I'm asking is, we've seen a tremendous amount of catching up in other parts of the world where they haven't been used to. The United States has not been used to a security threat. I know when I have been, not recently, a couple of years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, to the U.S., you could walk into a shul literally off the streets and into the doors there. How are we geared, and is there a lot of upgrading still to do to get to the level that we want to get to?
So I think what's very important is to understand the difference in environment. In Europe, the rest of the world, America, the police force is very strong. Our police force in South Africa isn't the strongest. So we are heavily reliant on private security companies in South Africa.
Okay.
And that's where a big difference comes in. And that's why the security industry is so rough in South Africa. Are we at the point where we are the forefront, the leaders in security around the world? Maybe, maybe not. Can we do better? Always. Good is never good enough for us. If there's a wall that's 1.5 meters high with no electric fence, well, first step is put electric fence on it. If we can make the wall 2 meters high and put electric fence and a bulletproof door, even better. So security and physical security and technological security means are always evolving, and we move in with those times. So we always follow in the footsteps of where the environment is going and upgrading as much as we can.
How do you balance our kids not living in a militarized environment, or ourselves not living in that, versus security? How do you balance that?
I think living in a militarized environment is the norm in South Africa, if I'm completely honest.
We all have electric fence.
We all have electric fence. I gave the example yesterday to someone. I said, do you have an electric fence on your house? Mm. They said, yes. I said, well, why? And the answer was, well, because it's a preventative measure for someone jumping over the wall. I said, when I talk about awareness in the CSO, you can't physically put an electric fence around you. But if you increase your personal awareness, it's like putting an electric fence around you. And that's kind of the path that we're going on.
Very, very interesting and a lot of information. I really do appreciate you coming into studio, sharing it with us, sharing it with our listeners. Just to conclude, one final message to the community around all of these incidents.
We're on top of it. I think that's the most important thing. We've got an amazing team who are really, really, really investigating every single article, case that comes out, etc. And we're always striving to be better. So we really, our main goal is the community's interest in their safety. And that's our primary focus. There's no blurred lines. It's the community to be safe and that's
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Keep it simple. That is Leroy Saunders. He is the CEO of the CSO talking to us about the kidnapping, about the links to terror and what as a community we can and should do about it. It is 8:56.